You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
And it is time at long last. All the waiting is over. It's the Mike Schaefer on Film radio program. And today, a focus on the Oscar Awards. Mike Schaefer, welcome back.
Good morning, Barry. Good morning, Napa County. And I just wanted to say to the folks at home, Barry, if I may, this show is so big. It's so big, it's being produced live in front of a studio audience.
Really?
That's how big the show is.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Are you talking about this radio show or the Oscars?
The Oscars and this radio show in tandem.
All right. Excellent. Yeah. It breaking news. Now, let's get started. We've got a lot to cover. Where do you want to begin? You want to go category by category? You want a scene setter?
Yeah, I just want to start with in 2017, I saw a movie called The Writer, okay, which I guess I would call a Western. It's kind of a modern day Western. And I remember saying to somebody, I don't remember who, it could have been you. I talked to a lot of people. The person who directed The Writer will one day win an Academy Award for directing, okay? That person went on to direct another movie, and on Sunday night at the 93rd Annual Academy Awards, Chloe Zhao will win Best Director for Nomadland.
There it is. Prediction number one.
Time is now for Zhao.
I don't think you're way out on a limb with this, though, as a prediction.
No. I think Hollywood, she's been the front runner. She's won every precursor. So this is Hollywood's opportunity to anoint this fascinating, brilliant young artist. So history, as you know, will be made when she wins. She'll be the first woman to win since Kathy Bigelow and the first Chinese female to win ever. So history will be made. So I guess we'll do this from, we'll go category by category. All right.
Okay.
So folks at home, get your pens and pencils handy. Ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
Original screenplay. Do you want me to name the nominees or just say, here's what I think will win? How would you like
I think
to
maybe,
that?
We're talking about the big categories. Let's hear the nominees because, folks like myself, I haven't finished. I've done a very poor job this year of seeing all the films. And so there's still an opportunity to at least, make a list of what's good and worth seeing. So.
Right. Okay, and I'll try to keep the editorializing down to a minimum if I can. So original screenplay, the nominees are Judas and the Black Messiah, Minari, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, and The Trial of the Chicago 7, which, of course, was written and directed by Aaron Sorkin. And I am saying that Promising Young Woman will win original screenplay. One thing to keep in mind is the largest branch in the Academy are comprised of actors. And the woman who wrote Promising Young Woman, her name is Emerald Fennell. She is also an actress. It won everything. It's won the Writers Guild, for example. So that's my pick for original screenplay. Moving on to adapted screenplay. And I actually changed my choice like 2 hours ago. The nominees are Borat, subsequent movie film, The Father, Nomadland, One Night in Miami, and The White Tiger. Can you guess what my original choice was?
No, I can't.
Okay. My original choice was Nomadland. I switched it to The Father.
Really?
So now I have The Father winning adapted screenplay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think there's a real good chance, Barry, with the eight pictures that are nominated for Best Picture, we could see a situation where the Academy wants to spread the wealth. So I actually see every movie nominated for Best Picture winning at least one Academy Award. Visual effects, Love and Monsters, Midnight Sky, Mulan, The One and Only Ivan, and Tenet. I'm going to go with Tenet.
Okay.
I thought that had the most impressive visual effects.
Okay.
It didn't help the story, which was incomprehensible.
Right.
But I loved what they did with that. Best sound, and I think we'll refer to the Oscar Voting for Dummies handbook. because you'll look at the list going Greyhound, Mank, News of the World, Soul, Sound of Music. Remember, this is the category called Sound. I'm thinking people will just vote for the title that has the words, the name Sound in the movie. So I'm guessing, and it actually deserves it. If you've seen it, I can't remember if we talked about it very much, but I think Sound of Metal is a very good movie, and yeah, I think it won that award.
We did talk about it briefly, and I watched it, and it is well worth your time. It's really intriguing.
I thought so too. Yeah, I thought it was stunning, particularly on the performance level from Riz Ahmed, who was nominated for Best Actor. Okay, so here we go. Here are the categories, the smaller categories that kind of mess people up as far as Oscar balloting, because we're getting into the, you know, live action short films, animated short films. So perhaps I can be of service here on the show. For live action short film, I'm just going to go with a movie called Two Distant Strangers as picking up the award that night. And I would say of that category, it is probably, particularly in the aftermath of the George Floyd verdict, this is the most timely film. Okay. And it's on Netflix, so people still have a chance to watch it at home. So Two Distant Strangers will be my pick for live action short film. For the next category is animated short film, Barry, and I'm going to choose a movie also on Netflix called, and it's actually, the title, it has the most sort of uplifting title, I guess is what I'm trying to say. If Anything Happens, I Love You. And it's, a great movie. It's on Netflix. It's in black and white. It's heartbreaking. So I'll just let you know that. I don't want to spoil it too much by saying, but if you have a chance, it is on Netflix. I think it's great. And I think it wins animated short film.
Okay.
Moving on to production design. Okay. We have The Father. We have Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. We have Mank. We have News of the World. And we have Tenet. If you recall, Barry, I was not a fan of Mank. I think that was I gave it a bad review, two thumbs down. Didn't enjoy it at all. But I did very much respect and admire the production design, recreating Hollywood in the 30s. So I'm gonna say Mank is winning this award, and it will be the only award that Mank wins that night for production design.
Oh, the only one, you think?
That's what I think.
Mm, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Let's go to original song, shall we?
Okay.
Have you heard any of the original songs?
Probably.
Okay, you probably have on the radio. I'm kind of going on a limb here. I'll tell you what the nominees are. There's a song called Fight For You from Judas and the Black Messiah.
Okay.
Which is from the artist H-E-R. I really like that song. Hear My Voice. From the Trial of the Chicago Seven, a song called Husovic from the Will Ferrell movie Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah.
IOC, which is from the movie, the Sophia Loren movie. I'm actually surprised that she didn't garner a nomination for her performance. But anyway, The Life Ahead and a movie and from the movie One Night in Miami. Speak Now, which was written and performed by Leslie Odom Jr.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go on a limb, being as how, and this is just my gut, Fight For You, Hear My Voice, and Speak Now are all sort of bundled up into like one, basically the same protest song, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I think that IOC has an opportunity here because it's written by the songwriter Diane Warren, who has been nominated like a gazillion times and has never won. But if you look at the ballot, the Oscar ballots never have the name of the composer, just has the song and the movie it's from. So most folks aren't going to know that Diane Warren wrote this thing. I'm going to say that of all those movies, and it's actually a really good song. I'm going to pick Husovic as the winner for original song. So somewhat going on a limb here, but it's a fun song, and it's the only song that's actually used in the movie. A lot of these, most of the time, it's the song you hear over the end credits.
Ah, yeah, good point. So yeah. Jusovic is the song from the Eurovision Song Festival movie?
The Will Ferrell movie, yeah.
I still haven't seen that. I heard it was hilarious.
It's hilarious. It's so crazy. And it's just, you know, but it's a really surprisingly good song. And, you know, 2020, right? So, and you've got these films that some people may find grim or depressing or dark. Here's that one opportunity to pick something that's kind of joyful and uplifting. Yeah. So I'm going to say it stands apart. And like I said, there's the possibility of those three songs that are kind of protest songs will kind of cancel each other out.
Yeah. I'm reading a little blurb here that says all five of these original song nominees will be performed in their entirety in the show. And for the most part, the people who did perform them, as you mentioned, Leslie Odom Jr., are performing the songs they're nominated for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the others as well. Diane Warren and Molly Sandon are going to perform that song that she wrote. So that should add it. I never really understood why they would have other people perform the nominated songs like they've done in the past.
You know? I never understood that tradition, actually. And I know that there were several performances that were, you know, that it wasn't the original singer from the movie.
Yeah.
They brought someone else out who may have been the flavor of the month that year with probably less than middling results.
Yeah, so. That's usually was a big letdown and kind of awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we're talking about the Oscars with Mike Schaefer on film this week because the awards are this Sunday. And what time does it start West Coast time? Is it 6?
West Coast time is 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Is that red carpet stuff or is that the actual awards?
I'm guessing the red carpet is probably between 4 and 5.
Okay.
But the show proper starts at 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. So if you're coming, Barry, I'd be here by 4:30 and bring fruit.
And so get it underway around 5. Our time means it will be over approximately 11:30. Is that right?
Yeah, 11:30 Thursday night.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting show. It's going to be an Oscar show telecast that we've never seen before.
Yeah. What is the production approach? There won't be, you know, obviously people packed into seats, but what are we going to see?
Union Station. And I've seen pictures of the set dressing at Union Station, downtown Los Angeles, which, of course, is this iconic train station. It's been used in several movies, including Blade Runner. It's not going to look like a Zoom conference call. So Steven Soderbergh, who is a film director and an Oscar winning film director, they're using high quality cameras for this. This is his quote. It's going to look and feel like you're watching a movie. So there's no host. I don't know if you were the last host that I remember was Jimmy Kimmel. And then there was that whole kerfuffle with the Moonlight versus La La Land controversy. I don't remember that.
Right.
But I've always liked the idea of a host, particularly for the Oscars. You know, I'm old enough to remember when Bob Hope was the host and he was always great, mm-hmm. or Johnny Carson. So, I mean, I know we have a little more time than usual today. Can I ask you like a real quick question in regards to a host?
Sure.
And I know this is off the cuff, and sometimes you get the best answers when you haven't prepared, but would you like to see a host again? And if you had your druthers, who would you choose to host the Oscars?
You know, because I like to see the S disturbers of the world, I think I would choose Ricky Gervais.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
He's great.
Because I loved what he would skewer everybody at the Golden Globes. And I'd like to see him, you know, do that every year. These people need skewering and they need to have their egos deflated. And I like the fact that it makes everybody so uncomfortable. before Ricky Gervais, it was definitely Billy Crystal. I loved his opening song medleys, you know.
He was terrific.
And that was a highlight for me. I would look forward to him doing one of those. And
very much so.
The whole hostless approach is kind of cold for me.
Okay.
It's not fun.
Yeah, I don't understand why they stopped doing it. You know, if there was, you know, I mentioned there was a kerfluffle with La La Land and Moonlight, you know, they opened up the wrong card or something. And I'm like, did they blame Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah, I don't know.
For that, he had nothing to do with it. That was a backstage mishap.
But, you know, what's hard for maybe it's, you know, because you're so when you're so close to it and you're part of it, you don't realize that a lot of people tune in very casually, having not seen most of these films, not being interested in things like animated shorts and costume design and whatever, you know. And so you're looking for celebrities and you're looking to have fun as a viewer. And that's where I thought, you know, a good host, like you said, Bob Hope and Johnny and Billy Crystal and these people made it more fun.
You may tune in just to see so-and-so hosting, and they made a big deal on ABC promoting such and such a person. I would like them to go back to the tradition of a host. But anyway.
Well, why don't you talk to some people, okay? Get that straightened out.
We're right here. Barry and I are actually at Union Station right now. I don't know if the folks at home know that. It's a big show.
I wish.
We're wearing Hawaiian shirts and drinking Mai Tais.
All right. We have a couple minutes before we have to take a break. So why don't you cover one more category before the break?
Okay. This is a big one. This is original score for a major motion picture. Okay. The nominees are Barry, Martin, The Five Bloods, Mank, Minari, News of the World in Seoul. As much as I actually did like the music from Mank, I know I put it down, and that was Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor. But I think Soul has been the front runner since the day it opened. It's won everything else, and this is just another opportunity for the folks to anoint Soul. It's one of the best movies of the year, and I think its fusion of jazz music, because it has that jazz backdrop, with the music that they use for, you know, the afterlife, purgatory, heaven, wherever they are. It was an interesting mix of musical sounds and forms. I really loved it, and it's certainly one of the great advantages of that movie. So I don't think I'm going on a limb here. I think Soul wins Best Original Score.
All right. That sounds like a winner. Let's take a break. More to come, as I mentioned, with Mike Schaefer on film. We'll do all the major categories when you come back, right?
Thank you, Barrett. Yep, absolutely.
All right, stand by.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin.
On KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
Let's get back to the movies with Mike Schaefer on film. We're talking all about the Oscars today, and Mike's given us some of the preliminary category picks. Let's get into the juicy stuff.
All right, sir. You're really good at this radio shtick, by the way.
Well, thanks.
You should do it every day.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
All right. You want a big one? I'll give you a big one. let's talk about cinematography.
Okay.
All right. The nominees are Judas and the Black Messiah, Mank, News of the World, Nomadland, and The Trial of the Chicago 7. Of those five, what films have you personally seen?
Trial of Chicago 7, Nomadland, and I've already forgotten the other ones because I was thinking about News of the World, which I've almost watched like three times now.
Yeah. Oh, but it's a good movie.
I know. I know you gave it a good marks, and it's a kind of movie I like, but I'm having trouble committing to lengthy things in the evening. I get into a busy spell, and it's like I want something short because I'm probably going to fall asleep. You know, it's just like I don't want to waste $5 on ordering up the pay-per-view and then immediately be asleep.
Understood. Yeah. And I think that's one reason why I mentioned that a lot of the shorts, for example, are currently streaming. They're available on Netflix. So maybe. So anyway, I think, you know, and I somewhat struggle with this because despite the fact that I didn't like Mank at all, it did have very impressive cinematography, very evocative black and white photography, if you recall. But I'm going to go with Nomadland as my pick on this. I think of the five, and compared to Mank, where one might say the picture comes off a bit cold, whereas you know, and one thing I've heard, and I know you and I don't exactly see eye and eye on No Man's Land, but I think most people agree how beautiful the film looked.
Yeah, I concur on that as well. If you can make barren highways, you know, look so attractive in some fashion.
Yeah. I feel pretty good about No Man's Land, and also the cinematographer in question, his name is Joshua James Richards. He is also Chloe Zhao's partner in life. So I think that's just the sort of Hollywood love story that, you know, people can't resist. So I think that's going to be and just another opportunity to anoint Nomadland. Picking up real quick, trying to keep the editorializing to a minimum. Makeup and hairstyling, I think we'll go to Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. That's my pick. I was particularly impressed with how they transformed Viola Davis into that character. So I think that is the way they will go. I think with international feature film, how many of these you've seen, I don't know. I've only seen one, and that's the one I'm choosing, which is called Another Round with Mads Mikkelsen. And I'm kind of using the fact that Another Round, out of those international movies, Another Round was the only one where the director was also nominated for Best Director. So I'm going to go with that. I feel pretty good about that. Film editing, Barry, I'm going to go with The Trial of the Chicago 7 because I think it has the most editing of the films that are nominated. Documentary short subject, blah, blah, blah. A Love Song for Latasha is getting really good buzz. It's on Netflix. Documentary feature. Here's an interesting category. Collective, Crypt Camp, The Mole Agent, My Octopus Teacher, and Time. I changed my vote. It was originally Crypt Camp. It's a good movie, and it was produced by the Obamas, which gives it somewhat of an edge. But I was quite moved by, and I think you'll like this too, My Octopus Teacher.
I was just going to say, that's one I started and, like I said, fell asleep on, but I was really enjoying it. It's not a good one for when you're drowsy. It will put you to sleep. Very intriguing, and I've heard nothing but good things about it. I'll come back to it.
Yeah, it was genuinely moving and beautifully photographed.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like I'm going on a limb here, but I also wouldn't be surprised. It's a strong category of films. I've seen Time too. Crypt Camp would be my second choice there, but I feel pretty confident with my Octopus Teacher. We already know Chloe Zhao is winning Best Director, so there's really no point in talking about that anymore. It's kind of a done deal. It's about as definite a lock as you're going to find. And I would be surprised. There's not even another. I wouldn't even have a second runner up. Everyone is so far behind her. Costume design was a tough one. I really loved what they did with Emma, but the movie came out so long ago. It was like the last movie I saw in a theater before the shutdown. I feel pretty confident that it's going to go with Ma. They're going to go with Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
I was very impressed by everything visual in Ma Rainey. You mentioned the makeup and hair, the costuming, the art direction, I guess, with the overall look of the film. It was really had the sense of both realism and just that slight bit of heightened realism that really brought it home visually.
I like that you said heightened because it is based on a play.
Yeah.
So there was a staginess to it where they're allowed to be more heightened, if you will. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel, I mean, it felt grounded, but it also felt flamboyant. And I think that's very much in keeping with the way Viola plays that character. There's a very vibrant characterization. I feel pretty good about that. Cinematography we covered. Let's talk about animated feature film, because you may have seen some of these.
Possibly.
We have Onward. We have Over the Moon. We have a Shaun the Sheep movie, Farmageddon. I love that title. we have Soul. And we have Wolf Walkers. So question, have you seen any of them?
I have to say that I have not.
Okay. Any idea on what I might have voted for?
Soul, I think, because you've talked about it, and everybody said it's really good.
Yeah, and it's pretty much, you know, in regards to the precursors, that's pretty much how you know, yes, there is some gut instinct in some of these choices of mine. And, you know, as of, you know, I already mentioned I changed my vote like 2 hours ago from one thing to another. But you're looking at the precursors. You're looking at the Guild Awards, you know, and Seoul has pretty much wrecked. It's won everything in regards to the animated film of the year. As good as Wolfwalkers was, as Onward was quite good too. I don't think anything's beating Seoul. So you can expect to hear Seoul winning animated feature film.
Do you have to have Disney Plus to see that currently?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I think, yeah, I think it's probably a rental now. It may be available on Amazon. I'd have to double check on that. But I think certainly being a Disney subscriber would help seeing Soul. But I really loved it, Barry.
Before we jump to another category, I did want to mention, because we talked about last week, the Century Theaters with their Oscar Week showings.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned that.
Yeah. It's talking about the cinematography, for example, in Nomadland. If you want to see it on the full screen, it is showing at the Napa Century Theaters. There's a 3:15 show today, for example.
Oh, great.
Minari is also running today and through the weekend, I assume. Trial of Chicago 7 on the big screen. And they have the shorts, the 2021 shorts.
Oh, great.
As a package.
Great. Yeah, because folks will often wonder, how can I see the shorts? How are they accessible to someone who's not a member of the Academy? Mm-hmm. Well, you can find these smaller theaters who will run them. Mm-hmm. And now the theaters are reopening, which is great, by the way. And, you know, with more and more of us, by the way, as of this coming Thursday, I will be fully vaccinated. So hooray.
All right.
Well,
I just got there yesterday or Wednesday myself.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Second shot?
Got my second.
Congratulations, my
friend. Yay me.
Let's get back out there.
And I was also going to add that if you're not interested in the Academy Awards, the Century Theater is also showing Godzilla versus Kong. So you got that. Got that going for you.
Which is a heck of a lot of fun. We talked about it last week. Right. It's not really a good movie, but who cares? Godzilla fights King Kong.
There you go.
If you have an opportunity to see Nomadland on the big screen, you got to go for it. Yeah, it is just a visually stunning movie.
I just paged ahead, and tomorrow at the Century Napa Valley, Judas and the Black Messiah, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, all these movies that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you got to keep in mind, you take for granted if you have streaming services that you can find these things. But if you don't, people who actually, and, you know, folks who would much rather sit in the movie theater, you can do that now, and all these are available before the awards on Sunday night.
I think it's great. I was so happy. I think I told you I finally, after 14 months, went to the movies. We talked about that. I saw Nobody with Bob Odenkirk, which I really, really like, by the way. Mm-hmm. But part of that experience was just being back in a theater again, Barry.
Right.
It does matter. Okay, moving on. All right, so we got the big stuff coming.
Let's
now. You ready?
Let's go.
Actress in a supporting role, Maria Bakalova, Glenn Close for you know what, Olivia Colman, Amanda Seyfried, and Yoo Jung Yoon for Minari. The award for actress in a supporting role is a lock. It's Yoo Jung Yoon. She is the clear front runner. She won at BAFTAs. She won at SAG. She's winning an Academy Award. She'll be the first South Korean actress to win in forever. So, yeah.
And that's for Minari?
And that's for Minari. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a movie that I think people generally do like, if not love, but they like it. I've talked to a few Oscar voters who will remain anonymous. It's kind of their second choice, but you know how the preferential ballot. So I wouldn't be surprised if Minari wins. It's not my pick, but anyway, everyone seems to agree that she's the best part in that movie as the grandmother. She's just great.
I do still think there should be some award for Maria Bakalova from the Borat movie.
Well, for the longest time until Minari came out, she was the front runner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she won the Critics' Choice Award and she won the Globe. So, yeah, if there is a second runner up, I think it would be because it's, you know, people love Glenn Close. Let's face it. We all want her to win, but nobody's voting for that movie. Nobody.
It's the Hillbilly Elegy film,
yeah.
by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And this would be an interesting list. Films that have, say, an equal number of Oscar nominations and Razzie Award nominations.
Yeah, that's right? particularly true for the Hillbilly right? Elegy. Right. She's nominated for both a Razzie and an Academy Award, which... It's kind of an anomaly. That doesn't really happen. But I mean, God bless Glenn Close.
Yeah.
And she'll be nominated again.
Yeah.
They're finally going to make Sunset Boulevard into a movie. So that could be the thing. So anyway, it's going to be YJ from Inari.
Okay.
Actress in a leading role. This was tough. And this is probably going to be the biggest nail biter of the night. So we've got Viola Davis, who won the Screen Actors Guild. We have Andrew Day, who won, this is the United States versus Billie Holiday. She won a Globe. Vanessa Kirby, who won a Critics Award. It's one of the strongest performances of the year, but I don't think enough people saw Pieces of a Woman. Frances McDormand, of course, for Nomadland, and she recently won at the BAFTAs. And then Carrie Mulligan, who actually won last night for the Independent Spirit Awards. And she was one of the first, she also won for the Critics' Choice Awards, which feels like 10 years ago. I struggled with this. I kind of think, I have this gut feeling, Barry, that Viola Davis and Andra Day, because they're both playing singers in period films, will cancel each other out. Although Viola has somewhat more of an edge, I think, because she won SAG. But you could also make the case that Andra Day has a better case because she actually does her own singing. But I didn't like the movie. Ma Rainey is a better movie. Mm-hmm. But and Frances, look, here's the thing. And I think if people think like me in regards to, well, who's already won an Academy Award? How do we spread the wealth? Frances is going to win because she's one of the producers of Nomadland. She gets to be on that stage anyway and to say thank you. So I'm going to go with Carrie Mulligan for Promising Young Woman.
Okay.
As the best actress of the year.
And that's one I definitely want to see before Sunday night. I'm going to find time to get that.
Yeah, I think you'll like it. And I look, and if you do see it, we can talk about it next Friday. Look forward to that.
Sounds good.
I think we've only got two more left, right? I think we've got three more. Actor in a leading role, actor supporting, best picture. We'll save best picture for last.
Okay.
Actor in a supporting role is a lock. It's going to be Daniel Kaluuya for Judas and the Black Messiah. I would personally vote for Paul Raci for Sound of Metal. A lot of folks, of course, love Sacha Baron Cohen for Chicago 7, but I think Kaluuya wins in a landslide for a film that I really, really liked. And I happen to know that it's a lot of folks on their ballots. It's their number two choice. So that could mean something. But I think Kaluuya is a lock. So actor in a supporting role. We've got two more, Barry. You ready?
Ready.
Actor in a leading role. Your nominees are Riz Ahmed, Sound of Metal. Chadwick Boseman, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Anthony Hopkins for The Father. Gary Oldman, Mank. And Steven Yeun for Minari. What do you think?
Well, the Chadwick Boseman factor, The posthumous award thing is kind of hard to get past likelihood for me.
Yeah.
I just feel, he was certainly deserving of it. But
yeah.
When it's your final performance and you've had such an impact and all that, I feel like it goes that way sentimentally.
I agree with you 50%. I'm really going on a limb here, Barry.
Okay.
I'm predicting a tie.
Really?
Yes, sir. I'm predicting a tie for best actor. Yes, you will hear Chadwick Boseman's name. The other name you will hear that night will be Anthony Hopkins for The Father.
Okay.
So I'm predicting because, the more and more people are finally seeing The Father and they are calling it a career win. A career performance.
Hmm.
For Hopkins, that it's not only the one of his strongest performances ever, which is saying a lot, but it's one of the strongest performances of the year. And I understand Chadwick. I get it. I understand it. I vouch for it. But Hopkins is so, so good. And the buzz that I'm hearing, it's actually turned into a very close race between the two of them. Okay. I think Riz was very good, but he's young. He'll be nominated again. So, yeah. And you know what? If I'm wrong, I get it half right. So, you know, good for me. Hedging my bet.
Yeah, one of these five or six will be definitely winning.
Anyway. So, tie, Chadwick Boseman, Anthony Hopkins. I'm predicting a tie. It's happened before.
Yeah.
It's happened. Katharine Hepburn and Barbara Streisand tied once. So I guess we got the big one. That's it. Best picture, and we're out of here.
Yep.
At 9:53. Man, I'm good at this.
You are.
Eight nominees for Best Picture this year, Barry. They are The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Mank, Minari, Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, The Trial of the Chicago 7. My pick for Best Picture of the Year is Nomadland.
And you think it will win, and you also think it should win?
I'm saying that is the hill I'm going to die on.
Mm-hmm.
It Nomadland will win. It should win. And I think, you know, but it's, I'm going to be honest here. The difficulty is, see, back in the day, before we had the preferential ballot, the movie that had the most nominations, you know, when they would, you'd see it in the papers, Ben-Hur, winner of 12 Academy Award nominations.
Right.
That's the one that won Best Picture. The movie that had the most nominations goes ahead, but they don't do that anymore. They spread the wealth, and it's a preferential. We've talked about this and how it works.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I still think Nomadland will win, but would I be surprised if Minari or Judas or Trial did win Ensemble at the SAG Awards, which is I guess their equivalent of the Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't know if that's really the most accurate yardstick in terms of predictions. But if a certain movie gets enough number two votes, it goes on to win Best Picture, which
right.
is how Moonlight beat La La Land.
Right.
But I'm still going to go with Nomadland, and that's also a way to honor Frances McDormand, who's one of the producers.
Mm-hmm.
So you could vote for someone else in that category. Yeah, I know it's divisive. I know you and I don't quite see the film the same way.
You know, a lot of times great films stand the test of time. And, you know, in 5 or 10 years, you look back and say, yes, that was definitely the best film of that year, even though it seems like a horse race at the time. So, I don't question the judgment on that at all. And, you know, and Nomadland also has that aspect of being on target for the moment, you know,
it
feels very real in this moment we're living in.
And timely.
And so I think that carries weight with people. But we'll find out on Sunday, and then next Friday we can talk about it. And of course, I'll point up any errors that you have made.
No, you don't really have to do that.
Mike Schaefer on film, ladies and gentlemen, from the insider view of the Oscars. Thank you for your time and your expertise.
It's always a pleasure, my good friend.
Indeed. So, talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin.
On KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.